Calling the Wyndham Municipal Utilities Commission to order on this Monday, November 26th at 11:45. The first thing on our agenda is any changes to the presented agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to approval of the consent agenda, which includes... Okay. The meeting minutes and the bill payment for the month. So I would look for a motion for to accept the resolution to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Motion made and second to approve the consent agenda. And for discussion then, anything on the meeting minutes, if they're okay, and then just review of the bill payments. The bills are stated out there. The one question I did have was the water main modeling, and that's part of what we'd approved earlier, so that continues to show up on the payables. Any other questions from anyone else on the commission regarding the payments? Any comments for Mr. Heron or Denise?
Madam Chair, no, most of everything that's listed is either routine or part of a capital project that's already approved by the commission.
Okay, well, then I'll let you take roll call, Beth.
Certainly. Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Thank you, Beth. Mm-hmm. And we'll go on to the monthly financial updates, and our Director of Finance, Denise Runge, will take it from here.
Thank you. We'll start off looking at the Electrical Division October 2018 financial statements. Looking at the yellow boxes in the top, our total operating revenue, we are $1.8 million ahead of last year and $182,000 ahead of budget. Moving down to the orange boxes, expenses year-to-date through October, we're $1,248,801 ahead of last year, majority of that sitting in the power cost. Net margins in the green and the bottom, we are $649,505 ahead of last year on the electric division. Turning to the water financial statements. Again, up in the yellow boxes are year-to-date revenue. We are $169,956 ahead of last year. Our expenses are $233,000 ahead of last year. They are still below our budgeted figures for 2018. And our overall margins on water, $81,660 ahead of last year. And again, we're ahead of budget. Moving on to the heating division, total revenue were $14,000 below last year. Expenses were $94,000 below last year. And overall margins were $147,000 ahead of last year on the heating division. Looking at our combined financial statement, overall retained earnings were $878,987 ahead of last year, and we're ahead of budget for 2018. Are there any questions on any of the financial statements?
Any questions? Thank you, Ms. Runge. Again, it looks like a good report, good finances there for for the month and for the year-to-date, good staying on track with what was budgeted. Then on to the investment portfolio.
Taking a look at the investments, this summarizes each of our investments. Year-to-date yield were approximately 1.75%. Our bar cap government credit bond index rating is at 0.9. So that was our benchmarking that we had set in our policy earlier this year. And so we are ahead of our policy on our investments.
No, that was a good move that we pulled off there, or not that we did there, I should say. Okay. And it doesn't say that we need a motion for any of this. This is just up for your information for anyone. Any questions along the way there on that? Hearing none, we'll go the commission and staff update, and again, Mr. Herron will give us that update.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we're moving forward with some of our big projects, our power plant, district heat and water treatment plant, the team that's working on these projects felt it would be appropriate to give the commission as well as staff an update on where we started, what was our vision when we started, as well as where we're at, what's left to accomplish out of those items. So with that said, the team leading this put together a short PowerPoint, so if you bear with me for a little bit, we'll go through that, provide an update. By all means, please ask questions as we go through it. You don't have to wait to the end. We'll be more than happy to answer questions as we go. So as I said, commission staff update, our mission statement, One World Municipal Utilities will provide safe, reliable, and quality utility services at competitive rates for their customers. And that carries through on everything that we do here. Our entire staff is aware of that, and we always keep that in mind as we're going forward. Okay, we'll start out with the first screen here, giving you an overview of what it's going to all consist of. It's going to be background, power supply strategy and scope, goals accomplished to date, conceptual timeline, current timeline, and our next steps. And then we added the water treatment plant updates to it as well. Background drivers for the studies, that's where we started a number of years back. We started with a couple of studies. One was it cost us to make improvements to the district heat system for reliability? The system is aging. And also on the plant side, the uncertainty of the coal and the environmental concerns that are associated with keeping the power plant running. The first study that was completed, the cost of district heat as well as the coal in the environment was completed by Burns and McDowell. And it also encompassed local generation. And that study led to a second study, which was completed by GRE, and it was referred to as a local resource planning study. And the reason that study needed to be completed, the Burns McDowell study addressed a lot of our generation and what are our options with our plant, with new generation, continued generation. And the study basically indicated that there's more or better options or alternatives than to keep the plant running. So that led to the question of, is our transmission system robust enough in the area if we were to decommission the plant? So with that, the GRE local resource planning study was completed. Concurrently, staff did an internal analysis or further analysis of the district heat. You know, what do we have to do? What are all the costs associated with keeping the district heat reliable? So on to the Burns and McDowell study. I'll touch on don't look like we get there at the pointer. Anyway, 1B is the far left-hand side, or 1A, I should say. That's business as usual. If you look on the right side, the very top one, BAU stands for business as usual. So if we were to continue business as usual, our 20-year net present costs would be sitting at approximately $268 million. Then we'll focus on the shortest bar, which has $250,000 or 2D on it. And that is, if you look again over to the right, it talks about 2D, retire use of coal, retire district heat. That's basically district heat and the power plant is both decommissioned. That's in the study indicates our most least cost approach to moving forward. And then the tallest bar, which you see there, is $332 million, and if you go down, it's the second one on the right hand side, it's retire use of coal, add 25 megawatts of generation. And the generation that they're talking about there are CHP units, combined heat and power, which would keep the district heat, would provide the steam that we need for district heat. Oh, back up. And then there was, as you can see, I think there was a total of 10 options that were studied by Burns and McDowell, and the highlights, the recap of those are down the side. They're also loaded on your iPads as well, the details of those. Then we move on to the GRE local resource planning study. It was completed in 16. And as I stated, that was to determine how robust the transmission was in the area. We needed to know that as we move forward with power plant options. So it identified existing transmission capacity, or it identified that the existing transmission capacity is deficient during peak loads based on how the system presently operated. But the study recommended two options: reconfigure loads by field switching, or reinforce by up to 12 megawatts of local generation. So it could be accomplished through the plant, through our diesel generators, things of that nature. However, with our diesel generators, are behind the meter. Therefore, if MISO were to call on them to run to beef up the transmission, those costs would be WMU's costs. We'd not be able to recapture those costs through MISO's reimbursement of their generation allocations. Then from there, the commission adopted a document which is referred to as Power Supply Strategy and Scope, and was created to identify power supply options and the balance between reliability and competitive rates based on the following district heat cost analysis, kind of the studies we were talking about, and the feasibility of the district heat, feasibility of the power plant, power supply cost analysis of options, and the feasibility of adding new generation. So that's what's in the power supply scope. And as we go forward here, what has been accomplished to date? Through that process in 2017, the decision was made to decommission the district heat in 2020. And a little bit of background behind that. The improvements that were needed to maintain or retain a reliable system, district heat system, would have equated into doubling our rates to our district heat customers. Our district heat customers going into this study were about half of what they were at our peak customer base. We peaked at a little over 400 customers, and when we went into this study, I believe the number was around 220 is where we were at when we went into this study. So our customers were exiting the system. We reached out to the customers and asked them if they wanted us to make the improvements and if they'd be willing to support us doubling of the rates so that they could retain our district heat. And we know what the outcome of that was. They had said that they'd prefer to put their own system in. So with that, that decision was made to exit the district heat system. And presently, we're roughly at 150 customers, and we're operating with a portable boiler for the most part, or a portable boiler is a backup to our stationary unit 4, as we refer to it. So we're providing district heat basically without generating power as we speak presently. I think that number, Joe, just for an update, almost weekly, of another customer that disconnects. Yeah. All right. Then power plant and supply options. There was a lot of energy that went into modeling all our different options, and the model results identified the lowest cost power supply would be through a joint action agency. How much difference was there? Compared to business as usual, there's about a $4 million savings annually once we're fully transitioned over, which will only be 2033 before we're out of our purchase power agreements. And when we compare going to a joint action agency and remaining independent but decommissioning the power plant and working with third-party brokers for our power supply, there's about a $660,000 a year annual saving. So that information is what drove the decision to go to a joint action agency. conceptual timeline when we adopt it and move forward with the power supply strategy and scope. We developed a timeline. Timeline went from 2017 out to 2031. And as you can see on the front end, we had 18 power plant staff. Our plant was capable of 28 megawatts of capacity and or generation. And we would run the plant at 5 megawatts, which is the amount of generation that we needed so that we would have adequate steam for the district heat system. And in that conceptual timeline, we had the Pram substation. We had study work for new generation, different types of generation, and what else is up there? Rice compliant. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, and our diesel generators, they were not rice compliant. We would not be able to continue to run them under capacity agreements with capacity contracts through Missouri River. So that's kind of a highlight. There's more detail if you want to look at your PowerPoints. But yeah, all the way out to 2031 is what we anticipated when we started the study, what it would take to work through the details of the study. However, as we move forward, our current timeline, goals have been accomplished faster than anticipated. And the reason being is there are significant cost savings per slide 7. If you back up, look at slide 7, that's at $4 million, that's $660,000 cost savings. And also, once the decision was made to decommission the district heat in July 1st of 2020, employees started finding other job opportunities. So as we speak today, we would not have adequate staff over at the power plant to run 24/7 continuously. So what does our timeline look like now? So we went from conceptual to what we have up there now. So 2017, starting point's the same place. 2033, we will, for the most part, hopefully have completed everything that's identified in the power supply strategy and scope. And you can see what we have here would be all the same boxes that we have with the addition of two additional ones. One is we joined Missouri River here in middle of this year, middle of 18. We also added, installed a rental boiler. As I mentioned earlier, it's a means to provide district heat without generating power. And then Missouri River is a joint action agency again. We will be receiving power from them starting in June 1st of 2019. And the power we'll receive from them would be the incremental difference between our power supply contracts and what we need to fulfill our responsibilities to the community. And the last box that was added, with that said, we always talk about staff affected over at the power plant. Up on the very top, you can see 18 power plant staff is what we had here, you know, a year and a half ago. Right now, we have 7 staff that we have left, but we have an additional 2 individuals in the office here that run and manage our power supply department. That's actually Chris and Michelle here. So as we go forward, we'll be looking at those as well. So yeah, it was reduced from 2031 to 2023. What are the next steps? Where are we at? What do we have left? Our power supply strategy and scope as a generation and the power plant. And presently, we are working with Missouri River. West Peak Energy was hired to do an assessment or a study of the feasibility of new generation. So we're hoping to have that study, or at least a preview of that study, by the end of November here. We're hoping to have that study finalized or at least near completed by the end of December, first part of January, and that will identify costs associated with different levels of generation. And then once we know where we're going, the outcome
feasibility assessment will determine what we're going to have for a new generation, what it's going to cost us. We'll be back in front of the planning committee to discuss those as a starting point, those costs and the amount of megawatts that are associated with those costs. And then that will drive the future of boilers 2 and 3. We always talk about boilers 2 and 3. Do we keep them for capacity? And there's some concerns with MISO that we retain them at least for a certain period of time here yet as a window to maintain our transmission status that we have with MISO. Only allows for a 3-year window from the time we decommission our plant to bringing new generation on. So new generation, what's going to happen with the new generation, then we'll get to the last piece of our power supply strategy and scope, and that's what do we do with our existing plant. So with that, is there questions on that part of it before we move on to the water treatment plant? All right, thank you. Then on to a water treatment plant, and if you don't mind, I'll turn that over to Joel. Joel will talk about where we're at with that.
I hate to tell you, John, but you took the easy one. All the good news. I've chosen to show you two slides. This slide you've seen before. It was done back in 2012. You've heard me talk about that date several times. That's when we did the pilot plant. And originally we started looking at the ammonia in our water, which we eventually will have to deal with. So over the years, we had to also do the green sale. We had to replace the filters media in our Southwest treatment plant, which we did in 2015. 2016, we started with the preliminary design for the water treatment plant. 2017, as you're aware of, we painted and did some work on our Wilmer Avenue water tower. And we are currently in the design phase of our water treatment plant. The thing I wanted to show you is take a good look at the dollars. The estimated cost, $4 million for the water treatment plant at the Northeast. Here's where we are today. You've seen this slide before as well. It's kind of our stepwise approach to our water treatment plant. And the one thing that changed right around 2012 was the salty discharge for our wastewater treatment plant, which we have to comply with at some point in time. We don't know when yet. Okay, so we have applied for the grants. John and I went down to the cities a little over a month ago, met with the people. They pretty much told us that unless we solve the problems and can meet and comply with all the salty discharge, we probably will not receive any grants. Okay, so they didn't say no, but that was what we left with. They pretty much said, you're not very likely to receive any grants if you don't comply. Okay, and also we are currently at the 30% design, and our price tag came in at $14 million, and that does not include engineering. So, is where we are today, is we have taken a step back. We are currently meeting with our larger customers to see if there's anything that we are overlooking that we could possibly do to change the way we do that would step that would fit into our stepwise approach. If they could do something along with us, and we could resubmit for the grants possibly, or whatever, that we could comply, or if water softening is our best option. But that's where we are today. I don't have clear direction for you, but that's where we are. So with that, are there any questions?
Okay, I do have a question. When you say, you know, that we didn't get that grant and they said you had to do it, were they talking that you had to have the plan all the way through to say that you're getting rid of the salty discharge, that the plan was completely in place? Because I would think some of this grant or loan money would help you to get to that. But if you only have a real definite answer, is that why they said you don't stand a chance of getting anything?
Is what they were looking for is a guarantee that we would be compliant.
Okay.
And we cannot give them the guarantee without total softening.
so they were looking for.
Who's that?
Grant Max.
Okay, John was just saying that the grant was actually a total of $7 million, and it was a 50-50 grant, okay? But that would have been nice to use now, but it was a one-time thing. So even if we don't get it now, if we do go to softening, you're going to see the $7 million. So it's not like we will never get it, it just we won't get it this time. We'd have to spend more to get it.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
At this point, I know there's been talk, you know, on the federal level and that type of thing about do they continue with it, and you haven't heard anything changing regarding regulations for the salty discharge specifically, have you? I haven't really seen anything. Again, I know it does come up periodically. Is that regulation mandate going to stick or not?
The talk is the mandate or regulations are not likely to change. But they are handing out variances a little easier now. Now, if that were to change, so it's possible you could get more variances beyond our 20 years. So that's all the moving pieces in here. You know, our water at the southwest is different, our water at the northeast is different, and the wastewater stream is different. And the variances, all those don't have definite answers. Like I was talking to our engineer, Vinny, I says, you know, this seems like we're going a lot in circles. And he says, well, that's because there's no really good answer. We have too many variables, and nobody can tell me what's going to happen 10, 15 years from now.
Any other questions from anyone here regarding all this? Well, all I know is you better be on the good side of Santa this year.
I haven't asked Denise if he's in the budget for next year yet, so.
Thank you, Manager here and Joel, for the presentation. That was, I find that interesting, and again, just as a reference for us as commissioners to stay on top of it, as we sometimes have questions come in from customers and that type of thing, it gives us a background as well. So it is appreciated. Thank you very much. Now to go on to the next agenda item is the strategic planning update, and we'll let our facilities maintenance supervisor, Mr. Marty, speak to that, please.
Thank you, Madam President. We have one item at the strategic commission level this month, and with the customer relations, that item is under the weakness tab. The weakness was our technology, our hardware and software programs needing upgrades. One of the actions needed was to replace our UConn system for our load management program. And currently that program, we're actually kind of right in the middle of that. The current steps is we've written and sent out an RFP and is published for a contractor to replace our load control system starting this spring and hopefully ending up in December of 2019 if all goes well. So currently that RFP is out, and we anticipate, I believe it's December 4th is when the bids are due, and we anticipate being in front of the commission again at the December 10th meeting, hopefully with a contractor for your approval. And that was the only item, like I mentioned, that was strategic in nature this month. Other items are more operational and are kind of in process or going as planned.
Okay.
Is there any questions if you had on that project or others?
Madam Chair, just to expand on Kevin's comment just a little bit, he noted that we'll be back in front of the commission for approval. Labor is anticipated to be slightly over $100,000, so that's beyond staff's ability to approve. So that's why we'll be back in front of the commission for approval of that contract.
Okay. Okay. Any questions from anyone? Thank you very much for the report, and we'll let her continue on then with the wind turbine report.
Okay, thank you. The October 2018 wind turbine report, as you see, total output for the month of October is 505,906 kilowatt hours. We were down slightly over last year. Main reason for that is we had a wind turbine contractor in town doing the structural repairs to the blades on both towers 3 and 4. They were able to complete, I believe, 5 or 6 different structural repairs stemming from contact strikes. I think there was 3 for sure lightning hits to the blades, and other damage that was actually cracking the blades or the outer shell of the blades. They kind of got pushed out with weather. It was kind of a challenge to keep them on the blades with the temperatures and the wind that we had, and they will be back out in the spring to do the cosmetic repairs, mostly to like the leading edges of the blades that get damaged, just more cosmetic in nature. So you see the availability of the turbines this month. Number 3 was at 69.7, number 4 was 90.6. And overall, year to date, we are a little bit behind schedule. A lot of that has to do with, as you remember, turbine 4 was down for approximately 4 months this spring. So otherwise, the units are working good, and we anticipate if we have a nice windy November and December, we hope to have a good rebound. So
it's terrible when you wish for wind, especially when it comes from the northwest. Yes. In the winter, right? Questions? I just have one, just off the wall, but when you talk about the blade repairs and you did say it was lightning, do you see or are you able to see, are a lot of birds hit with those blades at all?
They really didn't say specifically if there was bird strikes, but they actually talked about, they actually asked us, one of the contractors when we went out for bids for the repair, he added in if we wanted to clean the blades and put on a protective coating because of the insect strikes. If you can imagine the front of your car driving home from the fireworks on July 4th, that's what the leading edge of those blades looks like. They take care of quite a few insects the way it looks. So they're dirty from that. And
so,
but not so many specifically did they mention bird strikes.
I just remember when way back when that was a talk and we were putting up the wind turbines, that was one of the comments that was, you know, stated at the time. So
you do get some damage from ice and snow as that breaks off, you know, as the turbines are operating. Mm-hmm. It'll strike that as it's falling. And
okay. Thank you very much for the report. Good news. Next thing on the agenda is congratulations to Commissioner Magnuson and McDonald. Both have agreed to serve for another 3 years. So, again, we appreciate your commitment to the community and to the utilities. Mr. McDonald's not here, so we'll just relay that. And Commissioner Magnuson, I'll say it personally to you, thank you for agreeing to continue to serve on our commission. Next, we'll go to Mr. Heron will talk to us about education subjects for 2019.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a list that we typically provide to the Commission this time of year, looking for input regarding topics that you would like for staff to provide updates on throughout the year. What we have on here, beginning of the new year, is Commissioner 101, which is an update on the open meeting laws, conflict of interest, things of that nature. And then from there, we go into the updates. The updates actually start in the end of December already, but we continue on here in January with the line department. Then in February, you can see we got power supply, customer service, NERC compliant, water department, and then the strategic plan update. We made some changes there as well. We have every other month we regrouped them, meaning that we're giving updates not on the entire strategic plan but what's strategic from an organizational perspective. So we reduce the number of times we're giving updates there, and also on the strategic plan we'll be updating that this year as well, per the commission's request. Then we go on to March, we got energy services and marketing, and then safety report update, and the second meeting in March would be the audit. April, we have an open, so if there's anything the commission would like to see staff provide an update on, by all means, let us know, and we will fill it in our open spots or juggle things around when it's appropriate to provide the additional information or updates that the commission is looking for. And then the second meeting in April, we're back on the strategic plan updates, which would consist of financial policies and facilities, May safety report, and strategic plan update, customer service and the organization. June is open again. The first meeting, second meeting is EIA, depending on the labor committee and the commission, if they want a mid-year update on the goals that they set for myself, the general manager. July, we get into budgets. Second meeting in July is power supply and operations for strategic plan update. August, we start talking about the open house, and then the second meeting in August is always a facility tour. You know, you have to let us know. I believe that's a big hit. The commissioners like that tour to go see what we got going on, so you have to let us know if you want to continue. And then we go into September, budget approval, bad debt write-off, strategic plan, updated financial policies, and October, safety report update again, open house, as APPA open house is in October, but as we talked about earlier, open house is due to our availability, has been pushed back to August this past year, and I believe it's going to be earlier this year as well if we want to stay in the arena there, as they put ice down earlier. And then go back into November, and the EAA update, where we sit year to date, and strategic plan update, customer service and organization, and then in December we start providing department updates again. So in December this year, you can look for facilities and maintenance and power plant updates and engineering updates along with IT. So that'll be December next year, but like I said, updates will start in December so that we can move the updates through before it gets too late into the new year. So we're looking for input. If this meets your expectations, we'll move forward with it. But by all means, don't hesitate to reach out to Beth or myself or anyone else if you want to add something, and staff will be more than pleased to pull the information together for you.
Any topic that's coming to the front of your mind right now? My name is John. Addressed a little bit as far as from the commission, you know, we're doing the survey and the talk that we've had about governance and that type of thing, and so maybe on one of those open meetings after the labor committee meets and goes through those and reviews what was done from last year, that could be one of the topics. One of the open dates was my only comment as far as the education piece of it. Anything, I'm just going to put you on the spot, Mr. Miske, for just a minute. Is there anything from your standpoint as far as from what, as the liaison between the commission and the council, that you would ask to be on this year for your going back and forth to the council?
I think a few initiatives where you've tried to do some extra communication for those that are not in my position have been very helpful. So anything that you can continue to do with that, even when you do the tour, you could expand that to include other council members that would be also there. Because I do believe it is a hit in a lot of them that may not know all the facilities that we have. It would be nice to make them aware of them.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for your input there. All right.
John, I don't know if you can include anything on education or updates on what, like, APPA provides for us, MMUA, and now Missouri River.
Commissioner DeBake, meaning the workshops of relevance to us?
Right, the relevance of it, and
okay,
just for just kind of all commissioners' background.
Yeah. Okay. And again, as Mr. Heron said, if you think of something along the way, and make sure you relay that to him, and staff, I'm sure, will be more than willing to help us out with that, give us some more education on what's going forward. Okay, then we will go to the general manager's report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First item on there is our MUC self-evaluation survey due back tomorrow. Please return. It's the same survey as last year. I believe Beth mailed it out about a week ago. About a week ago, so yeah, if you bother with today, great. If not, if you get it back to us, we'll turn that over to Janelle. Janelle will tally it compared to the survey that we took last year. Last year was the first year that the commissioners took a survey on their self-evaluation, and we'll bring it forward to the Labor Committee, those results, and proceed forward accordingly or appropriately based on what the findings are out of the survey. Then, Labor Committee meeting will be meeting December 5th. On there will be our personnel policies update, our annual review of it, and 2019 COLA. Union is 2.75, so we'll be talking about non-union staff. Also, my review will be on there, a general manager's annual review, as well as my COLA adjustment. And the self-evaluations, as I just noted, will be an item of discussion there. For the general manager's annual review, Commissioner Magnuson is vice chair. I spoke with Commissioner Magnuson shortly before the meeting here about soliciting input from the entire commission. He said he'd be willing to or would like for us to push out an email and suggesting that everybody provide feedback either back to Beth. You'll be receiving an email from Beth, and or you can call him directly to share your thoughts, you know, good, bad, or indifference, and he will carry that forward to the Labor Committee meeting. So, and I look forward to those comments as well. So, I was in discussion with our Madam Chair before the meeting that from staff or even from my level, you know, if we don't know what the commission is looking for or what they want, it's hard for us to address. So, by all means, we look forward to that. If there's things we can change or do different, I would appreciate hearing them. So, thank you in advance there for your input on that. And then Planning Committee, revenue neutrality update, that'll be on that when the Planning Committee meeting is set up, and that'll be driven by the results of the generation study or the timing of the of our generation study. We will need a Planning Committee to talk about the results and where do we want to go with new generation based on the findings in that study. So then we move on to future events. I'd like to invite everyone to our safety award luncheon coming up on December 14th at 12 p.m. So we look forward to having the commission attend if it works for you. So that would conclude my update.
Any questions? Okay. And of course, commissioners, you know I'm going to put a plug in for if your schedules would allow to participate on the state level or on the national level with either MMUA or APPA as you plan your activities for the following year to consider that if it would your schedule would allow it. There's always information that's found and I believe helps us look forward as we go along as well. So again, I just put a plug in for that. Is there anything else to come before the commission today? Any questions, concerns from any of the committees? Any comments today? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice